In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable sisters and dear parishioners, we are creatures of body and soul. No surprise to you. We all know this, that there's two parts of us. One is immaterial. That is our soul. And then we also have this body, which is very much material. And we find that in the beginning, the invisible Creator, who is a pure spirit, made this physical world. He made it out of nothing. And as large as this universe was then and is now, it's still just the tiniest speck in comparison to his infinite power and greatness. And then at a certain point in time, he made the human race. And he made something very unique. He took spirit and matter, two things that do not go together, and he made them go together. That's what a human being is. A composite of two contradictory elements, body and soul, spirit and matter. And he taught our first parents, and they taught all of the succeeding generations, and our own reason teaches us that we worship an invisible God. We worship the infinite spirit. Human beings, unfortunately, because of their great desire for something tangible and because they are in possession of this very physical body, they would so often fall into idolatry. They would worship something material instead of the invisible God. They would worship something that looked very great to them, a mountain, a large tree. Or they would even whittle or carve out a statue and worship it, committing thereby the very grave sin of idolatry, putting a creature in the place of the Creator. Even the chosen people themselves fell repeatedly into idolatry. Again, because of their human craving, they wanted something tangible to worship, something they could see. Maybe not touch, it's too scary to do that. Once it was put, this idol was placed in its place of honor. But they could perceive it, they wanted to perceive it. And yet they were told over and over again, you must worship only the true God who is a spirit. Yes, at the foot of Mount Sinai, they were even worshiping the golden calf. How tragic. What a complete abandonment that was of God, putting the golden calf, something tangible, something material, something physical, in place of the true God. And then in their wanderings in the desert, God commanded them to make a very special portable church called the tabernacle. And he gave very specific instructions on how this house of worship was to be made. It was to be such that they could move from place to place, remember, 40 years of wandering in the desert. And the most precious thing in that church would not be God, but it would be his Ark of the Covenant. And God would sometimes come down as a visible presence like a cloud upon the holy of, or excuse me, the Ark of the Covenant, which would be placed in the Holy of Holies. How rare was their opportunity to actually get near. Sometimes they could see the Ark of the Covenant at a distance, but they knew they could not worship the Ark of the Covenant because it was made of wood and gold. It was not God, but it was their most precious item used in worship. So for 4,000 years, all creatures were expected and commanded, although they so often failed, to worship the invisible God who is a spirit, the infinite spirit. But at the end of 4,000 years, a prophecy was fulfilled in which the invisible God would become visible. The invisible God would take on the very body and soul that every single human being possesses. And now there is not just the invisible God, but the second person of the Holy Trinity was born of the Virgin Mary with a human body and a human soul. And this is why Christmas is so special and so endearing and so charming, that God became one of us. This is what why we find ourselves in church at midnight on December 25th, because of the joy, the holiness, the reverence of that hour in which we commemorate God becoming visible in a physical way for the first time ever. As Bishop Sheen put it, now we can get our arms around God. We have this craving for something tangible, as I said, and it brought people into idolatry time and time again, and putting a creature in the place of the Creator. But now the Creator himself has a human nature which he will keep for all eternity. And he is keeping it. And in Holy Communion, we literally encompass Jesus in the flesh. Every Holy Communion that you receive in your life is another Christmas, because God comes down upon the altar, and then he comes down not into our arms, like for Mary and Joseph. Of course, he was within Our Lady, but we have him within us like Mary had him for 9 months. How can anybody be afraid or lack in trust or lack in love when they meditate upon the God made man as a helpless baby in the arms of his mother? Yes, we can understand people being afraid of God, the God who can strike us dead, who can punish the world in so many different ways, who can, well, just as we know, just make all kinds of cataclysmic changes happen, who can make this universe come out of nothing. The same God is so charming, so lovable, so wonderful as that little baby. This is what brings us to God's house on Christmas Day. Our desire for the tangible is so richly fulfilled. True, it's not like holding Jesus in our arms like we would actually hold a baby. But remember, we really do have him within us for those 15 precious minutes of Holy Communion. Yes, we are body and soul. We have this need for that human touch. You know, this has been one of the great sufferings of this year in particular. So many of the elderly and sick locked away. And we understand there's that need to protect them, but how difficult, how heavy a price they've had to pay for so much isolation and loneliness. Our hearts go out to them, and many of them continue to be in this state. But what we should comfort them with and comfort ourselves with is that we have God both spiritually and physically, you might say. Well, not just might say, really, he really became physically part of our human race. And that will comfort us and strengthen us in those times of loneliness and deprivation. And our Lord encourages by his very own example how to get through this difficult life. He came to experience not old age. No wonder St. Paul talks about filling up in our bodies those things that are lacking to the sufferings of Christ. That's one thing our Lord did not endure. But he would endure the condition of a baby. And his mind was already fully developed. He had it from the beginning, the divine intellect and human intellect. So he was enduring the suffering, the cold, the exclusion in a knowing way, something we don't have as infants. But he willed to experience infancy, childhood, youth, adulthood. And of course we know he came to suffer and die on that cross. It was all part of the plan. But this gives us strength, which we would not otherwise have, knowing that Jesus would go through these sufferings and challenges of life with us and for us and as an example to us. And we must not refrain from reflecting that he came through Mary. I mentioned the Ark of the Covenant. This is one of my favorite titles of Our Lady, if you haven't guessed already. We talked about the Ark of the Covenant, the most sacred object of reverence, not adored, but venerated, because that was their closest contact with God. And once the temple was built in Jerusalem, that Ark of the Covenant was put in the Holy of Holies, and no one could ever lay eyes on it again except the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. But they were so enamored by the fact that they had the Ark of the Covenant, that it was God's mercy seat. It was a point of contact, even though it was behind the walls of the Holy of Holies. But then when Jerusalem was destroyed by the invading Babylonians, the Ark disappeared. It was put in safety by the prophet Jeremiah, and it was never seen again, at least not in a public way. Maybe somebody has seen it. We don't know. But the reason it does not need to be seen again is because Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. Just as in the Ark of the Covenant was the tables of the law, the rod of Aaron, and the pot of manna representing the law, the priesthood, and the holy and spiritual food. So now Mary, for the 9 months prior to the birth of Jesus, contained him who is the lawgiver, who is the high priest of all, above all priests, and who is our food in Holy Communion. We will never need the Ark of the Old Covenant, because the far greater one has supplanted it. The far greater one fulfilled it. Go to Jesus, therefore, through Mary, because he came to us through her. He wants us to greatly honor his mother, and he gave us the example of being submissive and dependent on her as much as could be by an infant, by a child. We do well when we imitate Christ in this way. So as I wish you a Merry Christmas, an M-E-R-R-Y Christmas, so I wish you a Merry Christmas, an M-A-R-Y, one that will help you to have a greater devotion to Mary, who will therefore give you a greater love and devotion to her son Jesus. We need her for our times. They are so desperate and difficult when we think of all that faces us. But remember, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace, and he will take care of his own, as we read in the prophecies of Isaiah. And he will, and we will always find him with his mother. Again, a blessed and a Merry Christmas to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.